trying to think the last date that I was preaching, and I think it was April. I've had this season off, and I'm grateful for this congregation to have given me the space to get through all the crazy cancer stuff and to have a little space. And I miss being able, I also have really missed being able to just like share reflections with you. So getting to prepare this week felt a little bit like exercising some muscles maybe I haven't in a while. But it feels good in this season of creation tide to just be able to kind of easily lean in through a psalm, right? This is our third Sunday in this relatively newer liturgical season of creation tide, which Diana Butler Bass kind of describes as this practice of Christians around the globe, mainly mainline Protestants and Catholics, coming together and essentially urging one another to recognize the theological centrality of God as creator, to recognize also creation itself and the human vocation that we all have for caring for creation and doing justice on behalf of the earth and all her inhabitants. So during this season of creation, we are called to deepen our theological reflection and our spiritual awareness of creation and engaging justice on behalf of nature and of our neighbors. This season, we're invited to center creation and creator and consider sacred scripture with fresh eyes. Excuse me. We celebrate the whole of creation these 5 weeks, 5 Sundays, using a lectionary of scripture that we're focusing on earth, humanity, sky, mountains, and animals. The teaching team this month, which last week it was Mike Hotz, today myself, Pastor Allie, will be sharing next week. And we each bring our own reflection on how the chosen text reflects God as creator, Jesus as redeemer of the natural world, and the Holy Spirit as the wind that enlivens all of creation. This September, you're invited to become more rooted in the natural world and more drawn to the Spirit's leading. As we pause and listen, as we reflect and act, as we breathe deeply and feel sometimes the cooler wind blow in our midst. I feel like about a week and a half ago, waking up in the morning, getting to experience that cool air was so lovely. It feels like this next week maybe will not be as easy breezy, cool and lovely. But during these weeks, you're also invited to become more rooted into God's creation as part of our community as well. So the things that we're offering to do together link in with this idea of creation tide. So like John said, today after worship, we're going to meet over at Sanborn Park at 11:15. Sanborn apparently had some folks help clean it up this last week. So the city said, you might not find as much trash as you like, but you could cross the street into Hollingsworth Park along the lake, and she said that would be lovely as well. So you could join us to clean up over there. We even have some little grabber things to make it more fun. You could join us at Amelia's family's apple orchard next Saturday. On September 29th, we have our second annual Genesis Blessing of the Pets. So we're going to gather for regular worship on Sunday morning, and then in the evening, I think we're 5 p.m., yeah? 5. We're going to be out on the green space on the lawn. You can bring your pet, or you can bring your stuffed animal, or a picture of your stuffed animal, or a picture of your animal as we celebrate, honor, and bless the gift of our animal friends. Our gerbils will not be traveling, so we will bring a representative of the gerbils to celebrate them. And lastly, you're invited to lean into that goodness of God's creation at church vacation at Covenant Pines. And I cannot stress just how lovely and full of life that gathering is. I'm an introvert, and I still find a lot of joy even living in a community with others. It is a good space to go and make it your own, as well as to lean into activities that would feel life-giving. And if some of you are considering going but can't stay the whole time, Josh is driving a little Genesis train of folks that have to go home Saturday night. He doesn't know this yet, but he has to go home. One of the Timberleys also has to go home, so it's either Bob or Jerry with him. But if you need a ride back on Saturday night, we can make that happen too. And if you're not going to vacation, I encourage you sometime that weekend to just get out into nature wherever you are and breathe deeply and experience the goodness. And in all of these gatherings, all these opportunities, or on a Sunday morning, we want you to keep these questions in mind. Where are you stewarding God's creation well? Where might you serve and preserve the natural world in a new way this season? And where is God revealing themselves to you through the created world? So our guiding scripture today, the Psalm, Psalm 19, like many other psalms, it kind of defies simple categorization. Scholars believe it was likely compiled from three separate hymns. The first one, which is our portion today, is the creation hymn. Verses 7 through 10 is a hymn to God's Torah or instruction. And the remaining verses are the prayer of the servant. And so Psalm 19, it begins on this really cosmic level, and it progressively narrows down to conclude with the human heart in the final three verses. And our verses today recall the story of creation in Genesis 1, declaring that the heavens and the firmament tell about the glory of God, Genesis 1, 6 through 8. So kind of the biblical scientific worldview of the time, they imagined the earth was flat. So the earth was flat and covered by a huge plexiglass dome, which was called the firmament. And beneath the earth, the flat earth, was water, which they knew because when they dug a hole, they found water. So that's how they created wells, because that's where the water came from. But above the dome, above the firmament, there was more water, because that's what made the sky blue. And openings in the firmament allowed for rain to pour through. So in Noah's story of the great flood, all of the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven and firmament were often connected. Those were opened in Genesis 7:11. And the sun was this critical piece of ancient Near East religions. So many scholars also believe that the psalmist adapted a Canaanite or Babylonian hymn to the sun, and then used that as a polemic against those other religions to say that our God, Yahweh God, is the one deity who oversees the sun. In Psalm 19, nothing is hidden from the sun and its journey across the heavens, but the sun is still subservient to God, who set its course in motion. The light and the heat and the life that we get from the sun are just a few examples of how God appears in and cares for the world. So a little all play for all of us, and if you're new to that, all play is where we offer a curious question, or more than one question, because I like options, to explore matters of faith together. If you're online, you can type it in your response into the chat, but if you've experienced God in nature, how has meaning or connection manifest itself? Or in other words, what did you feel, or what did creation help you understand more about God? So being out in nature, what does that communicate to you about God?
The vastness.
Yeah. 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 Alex said the vastness, like if you're in a forest, just how it just keeps going on and on.
I'd say it gives me a sense that it's like being alive and being human project is not just about me.
Mm-hmm. Will said when he is in nature, he kind of gets the sense that like he's part of this bigger piece, that it's not only about him, that there's like a larger story at play. Sorry if I told, like you said it really well and then I kind of butchered it a little. So. Holly said that the intricacies kind of help give her a sense that there is a creator God, because how else could some of these things have just arrived? Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's a great point, Cody, that even when you're out in nature, if you're kayaking or you're fishing or doing what have you, like, it can be both comforting depending on the space, or it can feel maybe a little scary or just awe-inspiring of, like, what could happen. Yeah. Yeah, John. Yeah, yeah. John said that he gets this sense when he's out in the woods that it's a more unblemished space, that no matter what kind of us humans or the world, just whatever has happened, like in that space, it's less touched by hard stuff, maybe. Yeah, Stacy. That's so great. Thank you, Stacy. She said she enjoys canoeing and that water flows like God's love, and that is an important reminder for her and her faith. Yeah, Regan. Yeah. 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 Regan said she feels most grounded in nature because there is a peace where she can just kind of like be and exist and experience it in that moment. Allison wanted to join in the all play as well. She was like, I have some things to say. Yeah. I'm one of those people that's often just like surprised by nature. So the other day I walked out of my house and I was like, what just zoomed by my, I thought it was the biggest bug that had ever gotten close to my face ever. And I looked over and it was a tiny hummingbird. And it like landed on the flowers right next to my face. And I was like, such a dork. I honestly, if people could see me, I was like, no way. Like out in front of my house, I was just like, are you kidding me? That's amazing. And I just thought, I don't know. Like, I know hummingbirds exist, but I don't know. For some reason, that hummingbird, it felt so otherworldly and, like, beyond myself. And there's something magical about just being drawn into whatever beauty and surprise is held within creation. I didn't plan it. I didn't do that. I wasn't part of that. It just, like, happened, and I got to behold it. Well, when I was a kid, my dad told me that he felt close to God when he was out in nature, okay, which sounds like many of us find a similar sentiment. He experienced God in the quiet, usually when he was out on the lake casting his fishing rod or when he was walking through the oak grove. He attended church. He was a church leader. He made sure we went to church. But his salient truth for his own spiritual life was that he really only experienced God in nature. And he felt like God was okay with that. And I would say that at that point in my own spiritual journey, that idea made me super uncomfortable that he believed that. Because that felt antithetical to this very dogmatic faith that I was investing in, that certainty and Sunday morning attendance and worship were everything. Because how could you experience worship if you weren't in a sanctuary? How could you receive wisdom if it wasn't told to you by the pastor as they pontificated on scripture? It felt like we were kind of veering into some dangerous waters here as he expressed that sentiment to me. It also got him on my prayer list for a number of years, which, whew. How could you know you were experiencing truth and revelation out in that oak grove if no one was there to tell you what you were experiencing, if nobody was able to mediate that for you, right? It didn't feel like it counted as worship. Come on in, kids. And a decade later, I was in a seminary class where we discussed truth and wisdom and how truth and wisdom forms our own spiritual formation. And again, a woman shared her experience. She saw her faith as having streams of wisdom. So four streams for her: scripture, experience, the natural world, and tradition. And again, it was like this record scratch moment for me. I mean, God's wisdom for me had only been centered on the Bible. So it didn't matter what you experienced. It didn't matter what you saw in nature. It only mattered what the words of scripture said. There was one way to know God, and it was only that way. And it was had to be taught in church on Sunday and studied seriously with an expert. So that's the default, because Revelation had one stream. Two streams if you count Jesus, when Jesus lived, but since it was 2004 at the time, which dates me, hopefully some of you were all born by 2004, we only had one way to experience God's wisdom in Scripture. Nothing else could be trusted because everything else was fallible. The natural world was too woo-woo, right? And tradition was fine, but that was mostly a history lesson. And as I edged further out of evangelicalism in those ensuing years, I found theological streams, multiple theological streams, that opened into a fuller mystery. That wisdom and revelation could come through creation and scripture instruction and through relationship and through an embodied faith. I've been thinking about this phrase a lot this week. Wisdom cries out in many voices. I'll say that again. Wisdom cries out in many voices. Many of us have been conditioned to think that only humans communicate the mysteries of God. We don't expect other parts of creation to have a voice like that of humans. Hummingbirds don't speak. That hummingbird that surprised me, that doesn't speak, right? Trees don't sing the way we do. Skies don't communicate. But Psalm 19 tells us the opposite. Many psalms, like Psalm 148, they celebrate the way trees sing, the way fields rejoice, and the way the rest of creation praises God. The psalmist invites all creation, including sea monsters and storms, to praise the Creator. All creation is here communicating about and with the Creator. In this psalm, the sky proclaims good news in its own way, not a human way, but in its own way. The sky is the mediator here of God's word, announcing the vibrant presence of God and the creative work of God. The skies declare the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord is a visible presence of God in creation, a presence that permeates all of the earth. In Isaiah 6:3, he assures us that the glory, that visible presence of God, it fills all the earth, just as it filled the tabernacle in the wilderness, just as it filled the temple of Solomon. The firmament that God created above is the story of God's work above and around us. The sky, a testimony to the creative forces of God currently at work. Creation continues into the present. In our cosmic creation story, in our individual stories of recreation, God communicates truth and wisdom. God appears to us in diverse ways in this psalm, in our day-to-day lives. And in this psalm, we consider how our own relationship with the natural world might give us a glimpse into God's creative power. How many of us have stood on the North Shore and looked out across a cold, deep, vast water, look down and noticed how each stone at our feet is unique. How many of us have watched the sprouts in our gardens emerge? When the first cucumbers are visible, when you realize that you have planted too many cucumber plants and it's too late, that's us. How many of us have stood in the doorway of our house or on the front steps instead of going down to the basement, but have stood there watching the clouds rolling in, the darkening sky as the wind picks up just before sheets of rain fall? When faced with the spectacle of creation, moments small and moments that are stupendous, what do we notice about creation? What might we learn about creation and the nature of God? And where is wisdom crying out in these spaces without words? In closing, Howard Thurman, poet, mystic, theologian, wrote this about noticing the commonplace. He said, "I seek new levels of awareness of the meaning of the common. It's easy for me to take things for granted and to deal with them without sensitivity. For when have you noticed the color in the sky? When have you looked at the shape and place of a tree? What about the light in the eyes of a friend when they smile? The gracious manner that your child has in meeting people at the door. The moving insight and power of the words of a song, the music that you enjoy, the renewal of your mind and body after a restful night's sleep, the way the cut in your finger healed, leaving scarcely a trace of the opening, or the spontaneous response that comes when you are face to face with poignant human need. And those times when deep in your heart, you just whisper a thank you to life, to God." So your invitation this week, friends, is to get out into nature. I know you've got busy schedules, and I'm still going to issue the invitation. Even in this urban space that we have, we can find places with trees and bushes and sky and vegetation and water and rocks. So immerse yourself in the mystery of creation. Whether you are 70 years old or 7 years old, we can all access this no matter our age. Immerse yourself in God's Spirit, that deep impulse that created diverse life forms in the beginning and continues to create even today. And as you do, what do you notice about your environment, about God, about yourself? Spend time in that quiet. Notice your breath. Allow your mind and spirit to relax. There is no agenda there. Simply for you to be present within the forest, next to the lake, on the water, picking through rocks. Imagine how God breathed life into all things. Allow yourself to picture God forming the heavens and the earth, the firmament overhead, and a spring of water rising up. Creation is speaking. Come, let us listen.